I said, tell her what's all your worries. Well, he says, I used to keep a 10-gallon keg of liquor down at my spring. And when I'd get up in the morning, if I had the backache, the toothache, the headache, a rheumatiz, or any other thing that might happen to my body, I'd go down and take a glass before breakfast. The pain was removed, and I was in much better shape. But now, since you tore up the keg and you've destroyed all the stills and the boys in the hollers all gone to jail, I just have to keep my headache, my backache, and other stuff. As Charlie, you know we have ABC stores now. Have you tried that? Yes. He says, I bought a gallon of the stuff. I brought it in. I measured out a glass full. It made me sick. I gave it to my wife. It made her sick. And I carried it out to the pigs, and it killed two of my young pigs before I could get them away from it.
This is Antiseptic Sam. He has a recipe we're certain Oscar of the Waldorf never heard of.
If a man makes liquor right, and fitting for any one to drink, he should wash out and clean out the still as clean as any cook utensil as is in the kitchen. He takes his clear water, it boils, it's sterilized, and he pours it before he puts his water in there. So he puts his water in there. Well, he puts his meal in there, and then that water cooks the meal. It's just like you cook a piece of cornbread.
Fred is a jolly roly-poly mountaineer. He had to give up moonshining because his feet couldn't take it. He now runs a country store off one of the back roads. It isn't exactly a supermarket, but serves the area well. That is, when the shelves don't collapse. Our reporters interviewed him. Ask him first about his pappy.
Yeah, when I was small, I hope him a little bit. After got caught, I quit.
It's not right to do it that way.
No, it's not right. I learned better and got me a different job.
Well, how about the people who do it all the time?
They get in jail.
Well, I mean, do they think there's anything wrong about it?
They must not. Many of them will catch around here.
What do you think about how do the people feel about the laws coming in on them?
They're wrong.
Do they think the government ought to be in here at all?
You suppose they have some laws.
Sophisticated reporters from the big cities sometimes have trouble in the mountains. So a hometown man picks up the interview.
How long was you really in the game before you quit?
Not too long.
How come you to quit anyway?
The law caught me.
Well, just catch you one time, you out of it now for good?
Oh, caught me about 7-8 times.
Well, don't you think there's some money in it now?
Would if one scared to fool with it.
How come he's scared?
Scared of the law.
And Fred has good reason to be scared. The maximum penalty for moonshining is 5 years in prison, $10,000 in fines. But the maximum is hardly ever meted out. What you're about to hear now is an actual raid on an illegal still, one of 20,000 seized last year. This is the brook from which the moonshiners get their branch water. And these moonshiners, who got their name because they usually work under the light of the moon, are chopping wood to heat the still. The revenuer is getting ready to close in. In the gully, surrounded by rocks and rolling hills, dawn is about to break. And so is an illegal still.
Make sure they're in position. I don't think we're running to a watchman now. As soon as I figure that they're in position, I'll let them go.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy! Turn! Hey! I know you! Stop! Stop! Get up, fella!
Bring them on in! Bring them on in, boys! What are you running for, boy?
We got two of them. That's all there was here.
That's a good catch, Jim. That's only two I saw working. What's your name, boy?
Your last name. I know your first name.
My name's Higgins.
And it's your still, or you just working here?
Well, I'm just working here.
Who are you working for?
I don't hardly know.
How about you there, boy? What's your name?
My name's Martin.
Martin? What Martin?
Neil Martin.
Who's your daddy?
That's none of your business.
Yes, it is. Now, don't give me a bunch of stuff. You're caught now. You ain't your still. You're just working here for somebody.
My name's Bill Martin.
Your name's Bill Martin?
I'm just working here.
Okay.
More often than not, the real owner of the still is never caught. But always, the raided still is destroyed. Listen.
You got your dynamite ready, Jimmy?
All ready, boys. In just a few minutes, we'll have a shower.
Okay, we'll send it to the woods.
That blew an investment of about $1,000. It takes 10 gallons of mash, consisting of sugar, water, grain, and yeast, to make 1 gallon of liquor. It takes 2 to 3 days to distill. Is bottled in half-pint fruit jars. Sells for about $3 a gallon wholesale. Is painful to the human body and costs the government $9 a gallon in lost taxes. Those who get caught, like this fellow, who's in a two-story red brick modern country jail, recognize the hazards but have no hard feelings toward the revenuers.
I got by with 4 runs. Come in and got me. Gave me probation, told me to turn loose if I'd quit. So I had to quit it. And the officers real nice to me. Most of them are just like your next door neighbor, do anything in the world for you. We push them out of mud holes. They help us out and we help them out. They walk a mile to do your accommodation. They walk 10 to catch you. Nice fellas, all of them are.
The revenuers, like Fred Morell, a handsome, dark-haired, energetic youngster of 25, have no hard feelings either. They recognize the problem for what it is.
They're not criminals. We have a perfect working agreement with them. They know that we'll catch them if we have to. If they get in the liquor business, they'll get caught. And as long as they stay out, we won't bother them for other things. We get along with them. We do them favors. We put them on their honor, which they respect a lot. A lot of the men that we catch here take pride in coming in on their own instead of being handcuffed and brought in.
Jimmy Moore, the other investigator who went out with us on this assignment, has arrested many of these moonshiners before. He knows them well.
We meet them on the street. We meet them in the courtroom. We meet them at stills. There's never any abusive language used. There's never any shots fired. There's no handcuffs used. We treat them like real 100% Americans.
Worm Nose Harry has the highest regard for the revenuers, but is glad times have changed.
They used to come in and they had a way of trying to scare a fellow. They'd shoot at his feet and make him think he was, and they don't do that anymore. They don't shoot at you. And that's a mighty good thing. A lot of people get killed accidentally, and all it done was scare a fellow so bad he just run himself to death.
We asked another moonshiner if he thinks the industry is going to come back where it once was in the Prohibition days.
I don't think it'll ever be big like it once was.
The obvious question, why?
Well, they just ride around these radios and airplanes and bum you and strafe you and all that stuff.
The moonshiners live in a world all their own. They're not criminals in a real sense, though they definitely try to evade the income tax laws. Claude Cooper is the chief law enforcement officer of the Alcohol Tax Unit. He can tell you moonshine philosophy.
These moonshiners have their own pretty strict code of ethics. I remember this big gang fellow that came into our office. Looked at our chief agent and said, John, I've known you for 25 years. You ain't playing far nor square with me. John looked up and said, what do you mean ain't playing far nor square? And this big fellow, he kept shaking his head and repeating, John, you ain't playing far nor square with me. Because now you're tracking us down with talkie-talkies and airplanes.
Modern science has had its effect on moonshining as it has on everything else. As far as revenuer Jimmy Moore is concerned, this is good.
There's a lot of times in the past 29 years that I have been where I thought possibly that I would be with St. Peter in the next few seconds. On several different occasions, people have had guns on me. They've told me they was going to shoot. But now when they get like that, don't get too soft. But get soft enough so you know the man won't pull the trigger.
There's a strong bond of loyalty among these people. Walkie-talkies and airplanes may bother them, but they can and will take on less formidable obstacles. Another investigator.
Well, there was a time we came on this still and hauled in the guy who was running it. I had to go back to blow up the still, so I handcuffed this fella to a tree. When I got back, the guy was gone, and so was the tree.
With many moonshiners, their business is a proud heritage, as this one explains in what might be called the Stork Club of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
My father was the one that taught me how to make liquor. When I was 9 years old, I was standing on a box beside the still, stirring the still for my father. I built up long, I hope him up till I was 14 years old. So I put up still myself, and I run it, different stills through different sections from that time to this.
The U.S. attorney for the area, Howard Gilmer, Jr., understands the local problem.
The defendants feel that they have an inherited right to make whiskey and to transport whiskey. That is largely because their grandfathers made it before them. Their fathers made it before them, and many of them have never known anything else. They all do come, however, from a fine stock. They are rugged individuals with little education, but outside of the whiskey business, you can be well assured that they are good citizens.
The logical question, it seemed to us, was to ask, if you know sooner or later you're going to get caught, why break the law of moonshining? This was the logical answer, mountain version.
Well, it's just like if you go out here tonight, you take a man, if he drinks a whole lot of whiskey, he goes into a bar and he gets drunk. He gets up in the morning, 9 out of 10 will go back to the bar if he has any money to get drunk again. And so why does he go back to get drunk?
Virginia's district court judge, A.D. Barksdale, has tried hundreds of moonshiners in his day. This is how he feels about the problem.
In rare instances, offenders violate the federal liquor laws because they're too lazy to do anything else. In the great majority of cases, however, economic conditions are a major factor. Many offenders find it impossible to make more than a meager livelihood, if that, by farming, and resort to moonshining in order to procure some additional comforts or small luxuries for their families. In some regions of the Blue Ridge and Appalachian Mountain areas, moonshining is traditional, and imprisonment is considered an occupational hazard involving no social stigma. The typical mountain moonshiner is a rugged character whose word is entirely dependable and whose only lapse from accepted standards of conduct is his violation of federal revenue laws. I use probation in more than half the cases, but violation of probation is without exception followed by a prison sentence, usually of from 1 to 2 years. Happily, there are very few probation violations.
If you want to know what America is, go out to the hinterlands of this country. The men who come home at night to greet a wife and little children, who pay their taxes and love America.
For the past 20 minutes, you have been listening to some of the voices and sounds of one of America's mountain hinterlands.
If the ocean was whiskey and I was a duck, I would die to the bottom and I'd never come up. But well, I have to wait. Can I get you now, or must I hesitate?
You have just heard program 22 in the CBS series, Hear It Now, a document for air based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Finley, and the CBS staff, which includes Joseph Werster, Edmund Scott, Jesse Zausmer, John Aaron, and Irving Gitlin. Portions of the program originated at WTOP Washington, WRVA Richmond, KNX Los Angeles, and the British Broadcasting Corporation. Combat recordings were made in Korea by CBS correspondents Robert P. Martin and John Jefferson. Mr. Barrymore appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Go for Broke, starring Van Johnson. Edward R. Murrow can be heard over most of these same CBS stations Monday through Friday at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Olin Tye speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.